and zoning boards is now in session. Anyone wishing to address the zoning board regarding the topic on this evening's agenda requested the completed card available at the clerk's desk. Speakers are respectfully requested to limit their comments to about 3 minutes. The Planning and Zoning Board prohibits the use of cell phones and pagers which emit an audible sound during the meeting, with the exception of law enforcement, fire and rescue, health care providers. Persons in violation will be requested to leave the meeting. Thank you. Roll call.
Board Member Haddock?
Present.
Board Member Spurrier?
Present.
Vice Chair Kelly?
Present.
Chairman Lewis?
Here.
City Manager Judd?
Here.
City Attorney Arnold?
Here.
And if we wait a second, I see Mr. Austin coming, so.
Okay.
Stay here.
Yeah. Board Member Austin?
Here.
Development Services Director Fleet?
Here.
You have the quorum.
Thank you.
We'd like an approval for the minutes for the September 26th meeting.
I only have one tiny thing. I just talked to Janice about this. The two JU students that came back last month as part of their course, they came up and introduced herself, and it says they introduced themselves down at the very end of board comments, but it doesn't list her name. And I know they were speaking so low that you probably couldn't hear it.
I was able to get Brittany's name, but the young man, I just could not understand.
I thought that was the case, so I have his name if you'd like, if we could do that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. His name is Rob, R-O-B, and his last name is Ratternan, R-A-T-T-E-R-N-A-N.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And with that, I make a motion with that correction to approve.
Okay, do you have a second?
I second.
Okay, motion to approve is second. Roll call.
Board Member Haddock?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
I was not present.
You can still vote.
Matter of fact, you're
supposed to still vote.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it sounds funny, doesn't it? But.
Board Member Austin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kelly?
Yes.
Chairman Lewis?
Yes.
Votes 5-0.
Okay, the first subject is the review of the subdivision application and preliminary plat in Magnolia Point Golf and Country Club, Phase 8.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, back in...
Janice, can I make one comment that's pertinent to what
okay.
we're about to do? Because on the agenda, I don't see, there's a little thing that we put on city council agendas right at the bottom called public participation. There's a new law that just went into effect October 1, and I would ask the clerk to put that on here, on there from now on. And just to remind the board again, I may have talked about it last time, I can't remember, but whether or not you have a public hearing or not, the public, and you've done this, and the city council has done it, everybody's done it, but you have to invite the public to participate on every item on the agenda, no matter, except minutes and things ministerial in nature, like a proclamation or something. But and then if you bring up new things that you're going to take action on, you must invite the public, if there's anyone here at that point in time as well. But, sorry.
That's all right. Mr. Chairman, back in 2001, in one of the ownership changes to Magnolia Point Golf and Country Club, the City Council adopted a master site plan for the ultimate build-out of Magnolia Point. To the drawing there next to Kim has the various phases, all of which has been platted except for Phase 8, which are the kind of the three, I guess, fingers up in the north end of Magnolia Point. Once this area is platted, Magnolia Point will be 100% platted out with less than 975 lots. This phase needed to comply with that plat, with that master site plan and all the requirements that were included in that master site plan. Staff reviewed it, and we've got the full set drawings, and Kim can show it up there also. Yeah, there. What we're doing, of how it kind of, it's an extension of Medina Lane, the north part, if those of you are familiar with it. Staff looked at both the plat drawing and the construction drawings, and we had 8 conditions related to the plat drawing. The first one being that the phases must continue the same street name. There were some street names difference, and we want to continue Ogle Bay North. So they're actually on the construction drawings, it was correct. On the plat, it wasn't. So this needs to be corrected. The city needs an easement. It must be dedicated between the end of Telegraph and Ogles Bay Drive and Shinnecock to accommodate water reuse and sewer lines that will be constructed. And understand all the water and sewer lines, water reuse lines, roads will be constructed by the developer to the specifications of the city, approval by the city for water, sewer, and reuse. The roads will be as all the roads are currently in Magnolia Point, as well as the stormwater system will be owned by the Homeowners Association of Magnolia Point. I wanted to put on the record as we talk about that normally sidewalks are required in new subdivisions, but this is an approved PUD that dates back to 1975, and this is like the final build-out of this, of that development, where no sidewalks were included. So that is being continued. Even if it were to be developed, it would be developed and owned by the Homeowners Association, so there's no point in even getting mitigation because it would be basically the Homeowners Association required. So we just want to let it known for the record that that's why this subdivision is unique, where they're not putting sidewalks that would normally be required because they are building out the plan that was originally approved in 1975. Continuing. So, on that. The lot numbering is different between the construction plans, and it needs to be consistent with the original subdivision that master plan that was originally developed, the master site plan. There is some question related to lots 56 and Dinah Lane, whether they've already been platted, and that needs to be corrected before we move to the final plat. A 10-foot utility easement along all streets shall be dedicated to the city for utilities, and that is because we do not own the roads, so that we have access to that property, and we have it now in all the other existing. Impact fees for water, wastewater shall be paid at time of final plat, and that is the water. Impact fee is $1,000 per lot, and wastewater is $2,000 per lot. The electric capital installation fee of $900 per lot shall be paid at time of final plat. And the preliminary plat does not include the phasing of the plat. My understanding of talking to the developer is they are going to do it in 3 phases or at least 2. So we just need to know when they, you know, how are they going to divide it up. So that's for the preliminary plat comments. Our comments related to construction plans. All streets shall have a minimum of 24 feet of pavement. All fire hydrants shall have blue reflectors. A street light plan shall be submitted for review. The developer is responsible for the design and installation of all street lights. The applicant shall obtain a St. Johns River water management permit and submit a copy to the city. And again, that's normally we'd have more involvement, I guess to say, but since they own their stormwater system, they're responsible for making sure that permit is maintained. 25-mile-an-hour speed limit signs shall be located in each block. And then we have some comments that need it for corrections on Sheet 2, which is primarily the detail. I'm not going to really go into detail. We will get a copy of these specific comments will be in the record. And the lot numbering needs to be consistent, as I mentioned. All stop signs and stop bars must be placed and located to meet current FDOT standards. And there must be reflective and located in each intersection. The street trees need to make sure they don't conflict with the reuse water lines or water lines either. On sheet 16, a loop needs to be read for the reuse lines between Grand Victoria and Elks Run. On street 17, the reuse loop must be continued with a stub out past Elks Run Drive. And there doesn't seem to be some service to one of the lots in the drawings we had. And on sheet 19, there's some notes related to sewer, water, and final inspection procedures that need to be added. On sheet 23, we have a slope issue that needs to be corrected, and I am taking out the sidewalks on at least one side of the street because that I would remove number 14 as our, as I mentioned earlier, and 15 because we're not requiring a sidewalk plan unless that's what you, it's really up to them whether they want a sidewalk. That's really up to the developer. And all utilities must be underground. And based on those comments, the developer engineer is here. He has been aware of the comments, so they are aware of them, and he's here to answer any questions or if he has any comments.
Okay, do I invite anybody that has a comment on this? And you have any blue cards?
Mr. Chris Farr is here, if you... who was the submitted on behalf of the developer.
Do we have any board discussion?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. Plat drawing number 4, it says lots 56 and 56. Is that all one lot?
No, I think it's 56 and 57. I think there was a... Yeah.
It was 56 and 57. Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we invite them up if they're going to...
Excuse me.
They're
going to answer questions. And
yeah. For the record...
Please state your name and address.
My name is Chris Favre, 1722 Hammock Circle West, Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
I'm the civil designer, engineer on this project. And the question, I think, was addressing the plat.
I think Ms. Haddock had a question.
I'm sorry.
I have some questions when she
came. It was in a plat drawing number 4,
yeah.
According to the property appraiser's website, lots 56 and 56. Is that all?
We think it's already been platted. It looks like it has.
Okay. I'll check with the surveyor on the plat.
56 and 57, is it?
Yes,
should be.
Yeah, it should be 56 and 57.
Okay. Just a little typo there.
Yeah.
Okay. And how many lots are there going to be in this last phase?
108.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm
okay. And on the final inspection, Janice, for number 14, you mentioned sidewalks here. It says sidewalks on at least one side of the street. Did I hear you say that that's not going to be necessary, or is it?
That's after discussion, we read the code, and in discussing with the, it really is up to the developer because of what's there now. And if they want to put sidewalks, that's fine.
I don't think they're going to, I mean, there's no sidewalks out there anyway, so, I mean, it would be a sidewalk to nowhere, so I don't think they're going to put it in.
But that's not true, but okay.
But, I mean,
you... And I understand why.
But, I mean,
I'm disappointed, but I do understand.
But if you want to, I mean, if the board wants to make that recommendation, that's up to the board to make the board has that option. It is in our code, you know, and like I said, it would be the only part of the entire development with sidewalks. That's not to say that it shouldn't, but it's up to the board to make that recommendation, and then, you know, the council has, this will go to the council, and obviously they have they can make their approval one way or the other.
I notice that there, like we're talking about sidewalks, there aren't any sidewalks, and that's unusual in a neighborhood development like that. And I noticed when I've been out there before, going to the clubhouse to eat dinner and different things, for instance, after it rained one time, I noticed a mother and a couple little kids, they were having to walk on the grass because of the traffic on the road, and it had just rained, and the grass was wet, and they were, you know, who wants, you know, what, walking wet grass, and I just noticed that, and I, for one, I think it would be very utilized to have a sidewalk. Of course, it's way back in the back. It's
yeah,
not
I
like
mean,
it goes...
There's a three dead-end cul-de-sacs.
Right, it gets
and
back in the
would,
back.
I mean, if we were building part of the main boulevard, I mean, I would agree with you. I mean, you definitely would need sidewalks down that boulevard, but, I mean...
Are you done?
Mr. Chair, the only other thing I would add is, you know, as you know, these are privately maintained streets, stormwater and everything else. So, you know, at the time this was done many years ago, sidewalks, in fact, it doesn't have curb and gutter. It doesn't have the usual things that you would, you know, consider when you build a subdivision. So
we are putting curb and gutter in this, though.
Oh, you are doing
yes.
curb and gutter?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So, might be something you want to think about if they're putting curb and gutter in. in terms of, I don't know, do you have enough space if the request was to come through for sidewalks?
Yeah, I mean, you have, there's space. I mean,
okay.
there's a 50-foot right-of-way, and,
okay.
and you, there's 24-foot of pavement, so there's 11 and a half feet there, so
okay.
you do have room.
Yeah, so it's up to the board if they want to leave that comment in or not.
Well, I personally would like to recommend sidewalks. I know that there's no sidewalks out there, but that doesn't mean that eventually there will not be.
That's true.
We could start somewhere. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't. Are you,
no, that's fine.
Can you ask more questions?
No,
okay.
I think that was the only ones I had, and because there was a little conflict there with what Janice
right.
said and what
yeah.
this said, and
yeah.
And I hadn't made the observation before out there, so
right. yeah.
I'm finished. Thank
and,
you.
And that is true. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult, and I would love to see sidewalks everywhere out there. But I'd also love to see it start on Phase 8, if
yep.
we have to. Now, there's 108 lots. How many are going to be, how are you going to divide that up in phases?
The western most...
Can you point to the map?
Phase one will be how many? And how many is in that?
That's the extension of Ogles Bay, correct?
Yeah, 39.
39 in phase one. And in phase two?
I'm not sure if it's depending on how sales go here, and they'll develop the rest of it out, or do, get this one phase and
but you're not sure whether that's going to be phase two, or?
No, it's going to depend on the market. I mean,
okay.
If they come in here and wait this out
okay.
in a year, I'm sure they're going to move forward. They'll construct the whole thing instead of having to mobilize and construct two pieces.
So what we know right now is there's going to be phase one, there's going to be 39 lots. Okay. Are these going to be half-acre lots? What's the size?
You want to go to the mic,
yeah,
Chris?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You need to go back.
Just so that we can...
They're 80 and 90 by 110, 120. And the ones on the golf course are, face the golf course. But the fee simple, they'll still be only 110 deep.
It's less than a quarter of an acre.
Yeah, less than a quarter of an acre.
Less than a quarter. Okay, I do understand that.
Mr.
Okay. I know that... I'm
sorry. No, I was going to say, Mr. Chairman, an acre is 43,560 square feet an acre, so a quarter is about 10,000 square feet. So this is a little bit less.
Okay. Now, your dream homes have built how many on Ogilvie?
We have four under construction right now.
Four.
Could you, excuse me, can you come to and state your name for the record?
John Blanton, and my address as well. 9745 Touchton Road, Duval County, Clay County native, though, born here. So,
good.
Yep.
Good for you.
Graduated from Ridgeview High School. So,
okay.
Anyway, looking forward to building in Magnolia Point. It's a great neighborhood.
Okay.
So we currently have we have some finished lots that are part separate from this development and that are currently under construction. We've got
okay.
some things going.
My question on those.
Yes.
How did the trucks get in that were clearing the lots or the trucks that were building the homes, how did they get into Magnolia Point?
I'm not sure. I wasn't involved in the construction.
Does anybody know?
I do not know, but I do see people. I mean, I was in there last when I went to look at the lots, and I did notice it seemed like they were coming down Colonial, so I'm assuming they come in through the main gate, but I do not know if they get a remote to come in the back. That would be up to the homeowners association, maybe.
Okay.
Looks like, I do not know.
My side of my house is on Colonial, and when they started building out at Ogilvie, believe me, there was a lot of traffic.
I can imagine.
And we pay for those roads as homeowners.
Understood.
But those are our expense. So I have a real problem with having to come through the front gate and go use Colonial all the way to the back,
right?
And put stress on that road.
Understood.
You don't know how we can change that. Whether the homeowners need to fix the back gate in some way that they can just come right in there, which would be the quickest way. Do you understand where the back gate is?
No,
I
don't.
You don't. Do you understand where the back gate is?
Medina Lane. It's
right. It goes all the way, and it's right close to where the houses, where these are going to be developed.
400 feet away.
Right. If it's just right there. So to have to come in the front gate and come all the way back, it's just totally unnecessary and an expense for we owners.
Sure.
So I'm asking, or I guess you need to get with our homeowners association. I'm trying to see what the procedure needs to be.
Mr. Chairman, that gate has remotes for homeowners. I mean, I just know when we did the security gate, it really would be up to the homeowners association there to get. I know that, like, for instance, they have given our police department remotes so they can come in the back gate. It would really be up to the homeowners association through the developer, Mr. to Dreamfinders, just to deal with that situation. I would, you know, that really would be it. It's really not up to the designers because they don't have access to that secure gate.
But I'm sure Mr. Zalewski, the developer, would be more, you know, would be glad to come into the back gate for construction, you know, to help. I mean, because he's part of the community, and you know, I'm sure.
I was just curious if there's a problem with the back gate.
No, I don't think so at all.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that probably that be an issue that you follow up with Mr. Zalewski on, because that back gate has an angle, a curb angle, and I'm not sure when you start getting trucks that need to pour and other things that they can negotiate all that. Usually sometimes there might be a construction entrance that we can figure on the other side of Ogilvy or something, I don't know, or Ogilvy or whatever, where you punch through, because there is another, I'm just trying to think of the road that's a little bit further down. It's a dirt road that's unimproved. I don't know if that could be a construction entrance. And, I mean, certainly you don't want to create any other problems for any adjacent neighbors. But
no.
I think probably the comment would be that you need to work on some sort of construction entrance. I think that's what you're hearing.
Right.
Would you like to put that in your motion as a recommendation, certainly, without any question?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That needs to be looked at very carefully. And there is an undeveloped road, and I can't.
You know which one I'm talking about? But I'm not sure. We don't want to, you know, piggyback the problem somewhere else, but that may very well work. I don't know for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll definitely look into it for you.
And I think the key is that you need to just make sure that that's a secure construction entrance. I mean, it's not uncommon for people to have construction entrances in development. The key is you want to make sure it's secured, because otherwise, you know, anybody can come in through. It might be that they just lock it, the last person locks it up at night or something, you know, whatever. It can be done. It happens all the time.
So shouldn't we have a member of the Homeowners Association from Magnolia Point here?
You kept
in the audience, so I think
you
got
it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because we're asking all these questions and they can't be answered. Look like some members of the Homeowners Association would be able to answer a few of these questions, because we're kind of like wondering about it.
Well, I am a member of the Homeowners
Association. Okay.
So that's why I'm coming up with all these dream questions. And just simply because we have a huge expense out there with roads.
And Mr. Chairman and board members, know that if you make a recommendation, this is going to go before the council. If between now and the time of the council meeting there's a condition that cannot be met, obviously the developer could address the council at that point in time. So, you know, you can add anything to your motion, and then it's up to the council to make the final determination, and the applicant would have the right to agree or disagree with whatever your recommendation is.
I mean, honestly, I don't think that he would have a problem whatsoever coming in the back gate.
Okay. It would take, yeah, the Homeowners Association board would have to make sure that they can actually get in that way.
Right. That's
I mean, there is a curve there that would be difficult. And even if that is
garbage trucks go through there, right? Or not?
No, not.
All come in the front?
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chair, yes, I believe they come through the front and I see them come right there.
Wouldn't they go out there when they had to go to the Rosemary landfill?
Mm-hmm. Not out through there. It depends on where the route is and how much, you know, they've got in the truck. But remember, when you're going out, I'm not sure that the kind of equipment that you all need to run in with, don't take big pieces of equipment on flatbeds and land clearing. I don't know how all that's going to negotiate that curve. It's a pretty... It's like a bold curve almost.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's going on here.
Yeah. So I just think you need to flag that as something to work on.
Right, and you don't know whether that was the reason they came in the front gate?
No, ma'am, I don't.
For the homes on Ogletree?
No, ma'am, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more? Okay, we have a card for...
Thank you.
J.D. Page?
First time I've ever... J.D. Page, 1862 Colonial. I'm repeating what Mrs. Spurrier said. Mrs. Spurrier said, I live on Colonial, and I would really recommend that you put that as a condition that they do a construction entrance. That back gate will be destroyed by the big trucks. We already pay thousands of dollars a month repairing that back gate. They need a construction entrance, and I really would prefer to have not our children and our dogs and golf carts be smashed by construction trucks going up and down Colonial. It's dangerous, and it's just not right for the residents. So I would wholly would support the issue of the planning and zoning, putting it as a condition that there be a construction entrance of somehow to allow the big trucks to stay off Colonial. We just paid almost $15,000 to have Colonial repaved, mm-hmm. and we certainly don't need to pay that again. So thank you.
Any more comments?
Can I just take a moment to comment? Sorry, just for all the Magnolia Point residents, just in case you're not aware, the developer made a pretty large contribution to the clubhouse recently. So just to show you that we do have concern for the quality of the community. And that was all.
Thank you.
There's one other comment, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to make for the record to help you all, and I'll direct this towards the representative here from the developer. Please make sure that you give serious consideration to how you want to phase it. I know when I looked at the plat with our development services director, didn't see the phasing. Remember, when you go to final plat, you have to pay those per lot costs. So think real serious about how you set that on your preliminary plat, because that was one of the things I picked up on, is that I didn't see any phasing on this plat, and I doubted that y'all wanted to go to final plat, you know what I'm saying, right away. So when you come back with that preliminary plat, we'll be looking to see what the phases are. So just give us some guidance on that. And I do want to make sure you understand the financial implications. Final plat.
And I just thought of another comment, because I've been dealing with our 911, in this, is we need to also add a condition that they officially, once they determine the names of the street, as I said, we need to make sure the ones that are continuation of names are maintained. Any new street needs to officially apply through E911 to make sure those are not conflicting with anything else in the county.
Ms. Fleet, you made the comment that these are less than 975. This will make less than 975. Is 975 our max?
This development does not want to be considered development of regional impact, which requires state review. So ever since this development started back in the 70s, the ultimate build-out number has been very important, and so that's why the 975 is all they can have. That's why Magnolia West was kind of broken off from Magnolia Point, because that would have tripped it, and it would have required going back to day one, the developer would have had it done. Substantial amount of additional review and additional impacts to mitigate any negative impacts.
So how many will this make?
That's what I'm saying.
It will be 975 after they phase out?
I know will not be any more than 975. I don't really remember. I have not counted them recently, but I know when we did the master site plan, that was the ultimate, that would be no more than 975.
Okay.
And the reason is 975 is 1,000 is required to DRI, 1,000 dwelling units in Clay County. Anything less than 975 is determined not to be a DRI, so that's why they all stayed under the 975.
You can make that as part of your motion that you approve it provided it doesn't exceed 975, and you could also put in your motion what Ms. Page suggested and what you've suggested, that they be required to seek homeowner association approval to use the back gate or some other entrance besides the front gate. I don't think you can make them, because obviously they've got to be able to develop that land. They have the right to do that. You just have to hope that they can get homeowner association approval to use an alternate entrance.
Any more questions, comments? Do we have a motion?
Well, I would like to try to make this motion and add these things on. To recommend to the City Council approval of 2013 PZ 83, a subdivision application and preliminary plat for Magnolia Point Golf and Country Club Phase 8. With compliance with the conditions and revisions to the plans listed in the staff recommendations, as well as recommendations that this, the entire Phase 8, have sidewalks.
That's leaving in conditions 14 and 15 that I was, we were taking.
Continue with 14 and 15, sidewalks at least one side of the street, a sidewalk plan to be submitted. That there will be a construction entrance that will be agreed upon by the Homeowners Association Board, and that these Phase 8 does not exceed 975 homes.
Can I ask Ms. one more thing?
I was just going to say let you get a second before we start discussing
that. Okay. Well, was there something that you wanted to add?
Yeah, that the new street names get approved by the E911 county system.
Okay. The new street names. Okay.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Board Member Haddock?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Board Member Austin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kelly?
Yes.
Chairman Lewis?
Yes.
Votes 5-0.
Okay, item number 2 is 2013
PZ. Thank you. He just said thank you.
2013 PZ 92 Site Development Plan Review, redevelopment of McDonald's restaurant located at 1165 North Orange Avenue.
Mr. Chairman, the existing McDonald's is going to be torn down and rebuilt to what I think they call the cafe style, which will be nice. They are currently redoing their sign. They're taking down their pole sign, and it'll be turned to a monument. This approval, that was already approved. Actually, we approved that through Gateway Corridor. This is the, it'll be in the same location. But anyways, this development will be a new, on the same site, which is a 1.65-acre site. The new McDonald's will be 4,388 square feet. It's about the same size as the current one. Staff reviewed it and recommends approval with 16 conditions, of which the developer and his engineers have been aware of, and my understanding is they don't have any problem with them. And I will read them. Do you want me to read them in the record, or do you just want the null 16 be included in the record? If you want me to go over them. Looks like you do. Okay, I'll go. It's good. Okay, the required buffers must meet the requirements of Section 98-235, including the requirements for a visual screen with a minimum of 85% opacity and running the entire length of the property for incompatible land uses. That's the neighbors to the back. This requirement is currently met with the existing fence on the property, and they're talking about maintaining it, which is fine. Sheet C13, IR1 and IR2, which is the irrigation plans, need to be reviewed prior to final approval from Public Works. Sheets 33 under sanitary sewer, note 2, needs to be revised with the note that all sewer products located in the right-of-way must have SDR 26. Sheet C7 should be revised that the sidewalk on Governor Street does not show the width but needs to be a minimum of 6 feet in width. On sheet C7, the 6 feet sidewalk needs to be added along Pine Avenue. On sheet C8, the high point of the driveway on Governor Street needs to be moved to the right-of-way. And I know there's been some discussion with Mr. Knowles, our Public Works Director, related to that comment. So that is in there now, but it could be, that's a Mr. Knoll comment, Public Works comment, if he decides that it's not needed after discussion with the engineer, it could be taken out, but as of right now, it still remains in there. C9, the sanitary sewer on the Governor Street will require a tap into the 8-inch sewer line. There's no existing service at this location. On C9, the backflow preventer must include a bypass meter. Number nine is an impact fee for the fire system of $15 per gallon of the system rating. The impact fee must be paid prior to the certificate of occupancy. There will be a $40 per month charge for the fire system on the utility bill, and that's so that if there is fire, there is water available, and we don't charge them for the amount of water that were to happen at a fire. So you has an understanding of the board. On sheet C6, the demo plan needs to show capping the existing sewer on Pine Avenue at the right-of-way, and this is going to require an inspection prior to being covered up. 11, the clear site triangles need to be verified at all entrances and exits. 12, a permit from FDOT must be obtained for all work in the right-of-way and provide the city with a copy of the permit, and I know they are in the process of obtaining those permits. The electric service, relocation of the utility pole in front of the existing restaurant, and the location of the transformers to serve the building shall be coordinated with the electric director. All comments generated by city departments must be addressed prior to issuance of building permit. All traffic signs, striping, start bars, etc. must meet DOT standards. And a mandatory on-site pre-construction meeting with the city needs to take place prior to commencement of construction. And with that, we recommend approval, and the franchisee owner, representative from McDonald's, and the engineer are all here to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, does the board have any questions? Ms. Furrier.
Could one of them come up and...
Good evening. My name is Brian Cassidy, 713 Neptune Lane, Neptune Beach, Florida. Mm-hmm. I'm the civil engineer record for the project.
This is an important question. How long is it going to be closed?
About 3 months, I believe.
I've been told 3 months, Mr. Chairman.
I don't know what my granddaughters are going to do. Do you have a substitute somewhere?
More like 2 months, maybe.
Coffee shop. You're going to have to start doing hamburgers, Mr. Kelly.
My thought was maybe a McDonald's food truck on site while they...
that's a good idea.
I don't know.
That's not feasible?
Well, I guess you have to talk to Mr. Amin about that.
Okay, thank you. I just had to ask that.
I don't think we can, because remember when the hot dog lady wanted to sell hot dogs out of her cart, and didn't we have an ordinance or something?
Your ordinance may not allow them.
Right, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm. Sorry about that.
Okay, well, I'm sure it's going to be beautiful. I've seen
yes,
some
ma'am.
Of it have been renovated. And,
yeah, it's a sharp-looking store.
It's a very nice asset to that corner there.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, when staff was reviewing the plans, both the public works director and the police chief both were very complimentary, because what DOT is requiring, what they're doing with their DOT permit is going to be an improvement to some of the problems that we currently have on Palmetto and at 17, so they were real excited about the design.
Any more questions?
When is your projected start date for construction?
January
1st, okay. good idea to wait till you get to the holidays. And James, for staff, number 6, C8, what is the high point of the driveway?
I'm going to let Mr. Cassidy go over that comment, because I know he's had some discussion with Mr. Knoll, and I've read it, but it's really an engineering comment.
Yeah, it's just exactly what it says. It's you've seen in parking lots, the low point is where the catch basin or the drain inlet is, and the high points are the places. It's the highest point of the parking lot. It's just a spot in the driveway where there's a high point, so water flows off in each direction from that point.
Okay, it's part of their stormwater retention on site. And so, like I said, it's right now Mr. Knoll had a comment related to where the high point should be, and I know Mr. Cassidy's responded, and so they're working it out one way or the other.
We've worked it out with them, yeah.
Yeah, I know that. I just haven't gotten the revised comment back yet.
I think it's down to something like quarter inch or foot or something like that, so it might only be six feet deep low point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I think I think it was just, it's just a grading thing, the runoff of the stormwater, keeping it all on the site, I think is what it's all about, and that's what we're going to do, so.
Okay.
So in other words, the southwest section that normally floods is going to be corrected?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And just right. Also, just read it, let the records reflect that they do have an exemption, and I didn't put it in there because I already received an exemption, but from the Water Management District, because it's all paved and they're kind of replacing pavement for pavement. Actually, they're reducing, I think, the amount of pavement with more landscaping. So, but that's why normally a comment related to Water Management District is in my comments, but they've already received an exemption. And also from DOT Drainage, both of those, they did not have to do any improvements as required. They're doing things to help the site, but not required based on those two permits.
Okay, thank you. And then about another question, number 11, clear site triangles need to be verified.
I can explain that. Our code requires that when you pull out, there are certain distances and clears to make sure there's no trees or any other impediments that would cause you not being able to see trees, or not be able to see an oncoming car. And it's hard to tell in plans, but that was one of the things when we met with Mr. Cassidy. He was going to make sure that his engineers and landscape architect verified that to make sure there wasn't going to be any conflict and move. There was a couple places that the trees might have to be moved a few feet back so that there wouldn't be any conflict with the clear triangle.
Okay, thank you.
Any more comments?
Well, how do you move trees back?
Well, I'm just saying when on their site plan, they would move them away from the intersection so that there would not be any obstruction into that, what they considered the clear zone is the best way of saying it. So if you ever go, if you're at a corner intersection and trees are overgrown,
Okay, so this is back.
So here, before you plant, we want them to plant further enough back so that it will not obstruct that clear triangle.
Yeah.
And keep them maintained for future growth, so when they grow into it, just to cut that.
Yeah.
Any more comments? Do we have a motion?
To recommend to the City Council the approval of 2013 PZ92, a site development plan to redevelop the property located at 1165 North Orange Avenue for a new McDonald's restaurant with compliance with the conditions and revisions to the plans listed in the staff recommendation.
Do we have a second? Second it. We have a second. Roll call, please.
Board Member Haddock?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Board Member Alston?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kelly?
Yes.
Chairman Lewis?
Yes.
Votes 5-0.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just had one quick question. I was looking back at the preliminary plan. Did we have a separate motion for the construction plans? Were the construction plans approved? Because I didn't pick up on that when I was listening. So.
I think the comment was for, yes, for the subdivision application, which is the construction plans and the preliminary plat. It was in the motion.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I guess, do we need to verify that that included the construction plans and the preliminary plat?
No, I don't know. I don't ever remember us doing that before. Have we done that before? I mean, I just never had it raised before.
I only ask because I know when we were talking about comments, we talked about 1 through 16 on the construction plan, and it just kind of, you know.
It probably would not hurt to just state for the record that the motion included for Magnolia Point Phase 8 both the construction plans and the preliminary plat.
I think it's implied, and obviously that was what was presented to you, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's.
Would it not be included in the motion that's pre-wrote here?
Preliminary plat and construction plans are two separate documents.
Right.
And I know that when we talked about it internally, my recommendation was that they travel together. In some other cities, they don't necessarily travel together, but it's a faster way to get a development moving. So it's just something that I thought about. But, you know, if that's customary, that's fine. Just let you know, they are two separate.
We'll just make sure from now on we put it, that's not a bad point at all, we'll just make sure we put that in the motion, Janice, from now on, and that won't be an issue.
The construction, for point of information, the subdivision application included the construction plans and the preliminary plat was separate, so that's why that motion, but we'll clarify it when it goes to council.
Sure. Okay, do we have any board comments? Any staff comments?
Yes, this, your meeting for, the reason I had the dates for November-December meeting, the November meeting would be the 28th of November, which is Thanksgiving, which I don't think there is anybody that wants a board meeting. And then December meeting would be the 26th. So usually, and I know some of you that have been on the board previous years, sometimes we do one meeting between the 2 months. Sometimes we skipped. We've done one in November, not December, one in early December. If what I would like to do right now, I've had some discussions with a potential developer that is looking at a project. I don't know if a lot of times they come talk to me, but they didn't go any farther. And it all depends on what they do and how that's going to affect an approval with council, because what the council, we don't know if, I mean, right now the council is supposed to have 2 meetings in December. Sometimes they don't. I know in the past they have. So if, depending on when things come in and advertising dates, we might end up having one the week before Thanksgiving, or we could have one in December if needed. If not, if we don't have anything that has to come before you, we'll probably have a follow-up on the subdivision of the land development regulations, and I would say we'll do it early December, if that's all right with the board. Skip the November meeting and go to December, or have a meeting earlier in December, like, looking at this calendar, like maybe December 12th, if that works for the board.
That would be fine with me.
Okay. But I will let you know in plenty of time. I try, and the reason I'm flexible, if it's going to help the development move forward, I don't want to miss a meeting. But at a certain point in time, since they have to get certain approvals by council, it doesn't matter anyway. So we'll play it by ear. But, okay.
Yes, the question I had in request, these drawings that we get in our packages on this 8.5 by 10 are so small. And even with my best magnifying glasses, I can't read. I mean, I can't read this. And so my request is, could we possibly get these with our package a little bigger, bigger paper to where
I will try to, I'll send them to you 11 by 17. Is that good?
Thank you.
Will that work?
Yes, thank you. Because I don't know about the rest of you, but I...
For the record, just so you know, we always have copies of the full sets of plans available if anybody wants to look at them. I also have the full sets available in a PDF that I can send to people if they want to blow them up on their computer. So, but we will start sending them out 11 by 17.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Why is it, for the low staff comment, I had a comment for this new barbecue restaurant, Brickyard. Mm. And these gentlemen in there told me, said they put that sign in the store in the front window that said BBQ, and they were charged $325 for a sign permit. But yet you had two stores across the street which had open signs which say the same thing. I mean, say just open, but there's no charge for that.
That's not exactly the whole. His sign that he didn't permit was the Brickyard sign, the sign that's in front. He put it up without a permit. He came to get that permit is when he did, and I hadn't sent code enforcement over to him yet. So he basically got double permitted because he put a sign up without a permit. So that's what cost him. You know, sometimes people don't tell the whole story, the rest of the story, as they say.
That's why I bring it up.
That's right.
I don't want the story.
You're right. But, yes, we tried, and for the board information, Mr. Chairman, we try to work with people as much as possible. But, unfortunately, when we find out that the people are doing work without a permit, which is our code enforcement officer, Mr. Falco, does it, sometimes we get some of our public works employees that see things happening, police officers, everybody's kind of got eyes. We get citizens that call up. And if you do work without a permit, our code requires that we double permit you. So what would have been for him like a $100 permit became over $150, becomes a $300 permit. So, and that's what it is.
Very straightened out.
Yes. And... And sometimes we get, those double permits can be expensive. For instance, the one for, which they haven't come, but you're going to have a site plan come before you, or might not come because it's a minor minor development, is a Hardee's. They did all their work without a permit, and that is going to be a pricey one for them. Not our fault. It is what it is. So it, yeah.
And I'll fess up that I was the one that got this one. So I'm like, there's an awful lot of stuff going around here with the C&D, construction and demolition
thing.
Sorry.
We actually found, Danielle and I were driving around looking at trails, and I said, whoa, Danielle, stop. She was looking one way, and I noticed the trailer. The old Bank of America building, and they were doing work without a permit, and it's an electrical guy that pulls permits from us all the time that is doing the work, and they're going to get double permitted, and I feel bad, but, you know, it is what it is.
It's a ball game.
Yeah.
Danielle, do you have any comments?
No. Just one more thing, because it didn't come before you, because I don't have to, but it went before the council. We are resubmitting a recreation trails grant. We're able to use the recommendation you made back in March, for the public information. But when we get a new site plan at your next meeting, I'll just show you where we're kind of, we've got a bunch of trail plans and trails that are planned, and I'll have my map, so you'll kind of be able to see where we're at just for information.
Charlotte, do you have any comments?
No, I do not. I was thinking of something else.
Okay, the next meeting will be whenever. And upon notice. And we'll adjourn this meeting at 5:55.
Thank God. I knew you were going to say that.